Pasuk says, "Ubnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'moid ma'oid." Matimolei ha'aretz oizam. Ubnei Yisrael multiplied. And became very, very strong, and the earth, and they filled the earth. So all the Sfarim tried to explain what is the double expression of b'moid ma'oid, very very. Vayirbu vayatzmu b'moid ma'oid, they multiplied, they became very very strong. Later on in the parasha, by the burning bush, Hashem tells Moshe to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe says to Hashem, "V'chi oiti es Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim? Well, will I be able to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim?" And Rashi explains that Moshe's question was, "What kind of schus do Bnei Yisrael have to be able to be taken out of Mitzrayim? As we know, they had fallen to the lowest levels of tumah." They had no merit. So in what merit are you going to take them out? So we need to understand, was Moshe the prosecutor of Bnei Yisrael? We always see Moshe Rabbeinu being the champion of Klal Yisrael, always protecting them. And here Hashem wants to take them out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is criticizing them that they don't have a schus. How does this make any sense? So Hashem answers Moshe b'Hitziachos. Am Mitzrayim Tavdenos Elokim Al Har Hazeh. When you take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, they will serve me on this mountain. And Rashi explains that what Hashem meant, Hashem means to answer Moshe Rabbeinu's question. You asked what schus do they have? So you're right. Right now they have no schus, but I know that when they leave Mitzrayim, they will accept the Torah. So in the schus of their accepting the Torah, I will take them out of Mitzrayim. So we need to know how that works. You know, they hadn't yet accepted the Torah. So how can the schus, how can the merit of the future work retroactively, that they should be able to be taken out of Mitzrayim? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "I'm going to come to Bnei Yisrael and tell them that the God of their forefathers sent me to them. They're going to say to me, what's his name? What should I say to them?" Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know Hashem's name. Bnei Yisrael didn't know Hashem's name. It says before that they cried out to Hashem. So what is the question? Why will they ask Moshe what is his name? So Hashem answers Moshe. Eke asher eke. Hashem tells him to tell Bnei Yisrael that Aleph Ke Yud Ke sent him. Why didn't Hashem use his regular name, Yud Ke Vav Ke? This past week was the first week of the weeks of Shoivavim. It's an opportune time for a person to do tshuva. The Svarim HaKadoshim say they bring from the Arizal that these days have a stronger power of tshuva than the Aseres Yimei tshuva. Specifically for the Arizal says specifically for the Avera of Moitzi Zera Levatola, there is a special koyach to be able to do tshuva in these days. So we need to know what are we supposed to focus on? How are we supposed to do tshuva? The Gemara says that there are three people in Tanakh expressions of humility. Avram said, "Anoichi ofer ve'Ephraim, dust and ashes." Moshe said, "Nachnu ma, we are nothing." And David HaMelech said, "Anoichi toilas v'layish, I'm a worm, not a man." So these are three expressions of Anava. And the Gemara says that of all three, Moshe Rabbeinu's expression, "Nachnu ma," is the most humble expression out of all of them. The way we usually understand this is that, after all, dust and ashes and a worm are something. Moshe said we're nothing. So Moshe is the most humble out of all of them. Really, it's very difficult to say that, because is there really any difference between dust and ashes and nothing? That seems to be a very significant expression of humility, and it doesn't seem to be too much of a difference, if any, between that and nothing. So in what way is Moshe Rabbeinu's humility greater than a greater level of humility than that of Avraham and David? So to understand all this, I'd like to contemplate, or to try to understand why we find that Yaakov Avinu was zeicha to mitos hashleima. It was zeicha that all of his children were tzaddikim, which is not something that Avram or Yitzchak were zeicha to. Avram had a Yishmael and Yitzchak had an Esav. I'm not sure we're allowed to give reasons for this, but in order for us to be able to learn an approach in Avodas Hashem, I'd like to offer perhaps a reason why Yaakov was zeicha to have all of his sons tzaddikim, not Avraham and Yitzchak. So we find in the drashas of the Chasam Sofer, he explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ma'oid Ma'oid Havei Shfal Ruach. The Mishnah says a person should be very, very humble. So he explains the double expression, Ma'oid Ma'oid. And he says that if you find a person that's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he's very poor. Financially, he's very poor. And he's humble. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he is truly humble, says Chasam Sofer. It could be he's humble because he's so poor. So the humble is a result of his poverty, not a true sense of humility. On the other hand, says Chasam Sofer, you have a person who's a gevir, he's very wealthy, and he supports many poor people, and he supports limited Torah, he supports Torah learners. But he himself is an amoritz. He himself is ignorant. And he's humble. Once again, says Chasam Sofer, there's no proof that he's truly humble. Could be he's humble because he's an amoritz. He's ignorant. So he's humble because he's not a Talmud Chacham like the others. But if you find a person that is zoichel shtei shulchanos, he merits both, he's wealthy and he's a Talmud Chacham, and he supports other Talmud Chachamim, and he's humble, that's true humility. That's true anav. So, says Chasam Sofer that Ma'oid is Rosh HaTevis, it's an acronym for Miminoi Eish Das. It says in the Pasuk, regarding the Torah, that from Hashem's right is the Torah of fire. So Ma'oid represents the Talmud Chacham. Miminoi Eish Das. Ma'oid can also be an acronym for Maskil El Dol, someone who pays attention to the poor, which is a reference to the wealthy person who takes care of the poor. Each one on their own, if they're humble, is no proof that it's true humility. But ma'oid, ma'oid, but even if you have both ma'oids, says Chasam Sofer, you have the mimino yesh das, and you have the maskil al dol, nevertheless, habesh fal ruach, nevertheless, you should still be humble. And that will be true humility. Those are the words of the Chasam Sofer, and I'd like to borrow just the Rosh HaTevis and you say a totally different approach. And I believe that there are two different approaches to anava, to humility. One is an anava, a humility that a person has because the person focuses on their lowliness. The person focuses on the aveiros that they've done throughout the years and how they've rebelled against the Ribbono Shel Olam. The person focuses on all the bad midas that they have. Lev Yodei Amoras Nafsha, everybody knows the bitterness of their soul. Everybody knows the skeletons that they have in the closet, in their own closet. And when a person focuses on their lowliness, that will bring about humility. That, I believe, is anava that comes from maskil el dol. It comes from the person focusing on their dalus, the person focusing on their smallness. That's one type of anava. And then there's anava, there's humility that stems from a person realizing how, when a person learns Torah, when a person starts serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, the person starts having an understanding of how vast, how tremendous the Torah is, and how much there still is to achieve and to grasp, and how much there still is to understand. And the more a person learns, the more a person realizes how little they know. That's how the Torah works. The more a person knows, the more they realize how much more there is to know. And that's why we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person upon the face of the earth. It was specifically because Moshe Rabbeinu grasped more godliness than anyone else in the world. That's why Moshe was so humble, because Moshe Rabbeinu knew more than anyone else how much he doesn't know. So this type of anava doesn't come from a person focusing on their lowliness. It rather comes from focusing on how much of how little I know in comparison of what there is to know. It's the type of anava that propels the person to try to know more. And the more the person knows, the more humble they become, because the more they find out that there is to know. That type of anava is called the anava, the other ma'oid, which is miminoy eshdas. It's a anava that is a product of a person's Torah knowledge. Because the more a person knows, the more a person realizes how little they know. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. Ma'oid ma'oid av eshval ruach. There are two ways to become eshval ruach. Two ways to become humble. Through one ma'oid, which is maskil al dol, to focus on one's own lowliness. And then there's ma'oid, the other approach to becoming humble, is mimino eshdas, to learn Torah, and to realize how small we are, to realize how little we know in comparison to what there is to be known. So these two anavas, so one is a earthly anava, one is an artiyazdig anava, because it stems from the person focusing on their lowliness, on their earthliness, on all of their faults. And the other one is a heavenly anava, because it stems from the person focusing on how heavenly they still need to become. And how heavenly the Torah is, and how small we are in comparison. So it's an earthly anava and a heavenly anava. According to this, we can say that the anava that Avram had, and the anava of David HaMelech, those were earthly anavas. It came from, it stemmed from the maskil al dol, from focusing on their smallness. As Avram said, Anochi ofar ve'efer, I'm dust and ashes. His anava stemmed from dust and ashes. It stemmed from the fact that he focused on the fact that he comes from earth, and that he's full of faults. Avram Avinu was always focused on his dalos. David HaMelech, he says, "Anochi toilas olayish, I'm a worm, not a man." I'm a disgrace of a person, a degraded individual. He was, David HaMelech was focusing on his lowliness. So Avram and David are the Adam Asher Apnei Adam. They are the Adam. Adam is the same letters as Ma'oid, which is masculine El Dol. They are the Adam Asher Apnei Adam. Their Anava came from the ground, from focusing on their lowliness. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava was a different Anava. As mentioned before, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble was because he grasped so much godliness that he realized how small he was. He realized how much there still is to know. And that's why it says, Ish Moshe. The Pasuk says in Parshas Baal Oischa, Ish Moshe Anav Ma'oid. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Ma'oid. Miminoi Ejdas, right? Ma'oid is Miminoi Ejdas. A greater Anav Mikol HaAdam Asher Al Pnei Adama. More than the two Adams, which is Avram and David, who got their Anava from masculine Adol Asher Al Pnei Adama, because they got their Anava from the Adama. Now, why is his Anava greater than theirs? Why does the Gemara praise Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava over the Anava of Avram and David? It's because the Anava of Maskil Al-Dol, the type of humility that comes from focusing on one's dalos, on one's smallness, has a tremendous danger involved. And that is that it can cause a person to become depressed. It can cause a person to despair when a person is focusing constantly on their faults, constantly focusing on their averes and all the things they've done wrong. That can easily cause a person just to give up. Which is not the case when a person is focused on mimino yejdos, when a person is focusing when the person learns Torah and begins to see how great and how vast the Torah is, that only propels a person to learn more, and it whets the person's appetite to learn more. But in the process, a person sees how small they are. That's the Anava Moshe Rabbeinu, and since it's a much safer Anava, it's a Simcha de Anava. And that's why the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava is a greater Anava than the Anava of Avraham and David. Because it's not Anava Asher Apnei, it's not Mikola Adam Asher Apnei Adama. It doesn't come from the earth, it's a heavenly Anava. It doesn't have the danger of depression or despair. And perhaps this is why Avram and Yitzchak weren't zoiche to mitos hashlema, because they were, since Avram and Yitzchak were constantly focusing on their smallness, and that was the chinuch that they gave their children, to always focus on their smallness. So Yishmael and Esav, having a lot of faults to focus on, just gave up. They despaired. Whereas Yaakov Avinu says, "Katointi, do you know why I'm small? Not because I look at my faults. Mikol ha'rasadim and mikol ha'emes asher asisos avdecha. Because I'm focusing on all of the kindness and all of the truth, which is the Torah. I feel small in comparison to all the chasadim and all the emes." Yaakov Avinu states where his anava comes from. "Katointi, mikol ha'rasadim and mikol ha'emes." Since that was how Yaakov achieved his anava, that's the chinuch he gave his children. He was therefore zeichet to children tzaddikim, children that strived for greatness. Now, when Yaakov passed away, Bnei Yisrael started once again getting their anava from focusing on their smallness. And that's what this Yaakov Avinu's approach of mimino yesh das, of getting his anava of a heavenly anava, that was forgotten. They became very involved in their maskil eldol. The first ma'oid is maskil eldol, and the second one means very. They became very strong in their anova of maskil eldol. And that is what landed them in Memta Shari Tumah. They became so depressed and so saddened by their faults that constantly were growing as a vicious cycle of focusing on their faults, that they despaired. And that's why when Hashem told Moshe to take them out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I take them out of Mitzrayim? They won't believe that they're worthy of leaving Mitzrayim. They're so depressed. They have given up on themselves. So the Rabbi Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to teach Bnei Yisrael a different approach to humility, a different approach to anava. You need to tell them that there's going to be a Torah HaKadosh. That they are going to, once they start learning the Torah HaKadosh, they will feel small, and they'll get their anava from a very positive place instead of from a negative place. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, when they ask me, what is this called? What is the name of Hashem that is associated with this anava? The anava of this positive anava of realizing what there is to be achieved and what there is to be grasped. What is this called? And Hashem says to Moshe, tell them it's called Eke, Asher Eke. Tell them the word Eke means I will be. It's the type of Torah, it's the type of approach that shows them what they can be. And they will feel small in comparison to that. That is the anava, that is the approach that Hashem was suggesting to Moshe Rabbeinu to take Bnei Yisrael out of the depths of Tumas Mitzrayim, to stop focusing on their faults and on their negativity, rather to start focusing on what they could become. And that itself is sufficient to give them a tremendous sense of humility. And I believe that this is the avodah during these days of Shoivavim. The reason why these are such opportune days of tshuva is because we read the parshiyas of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore it's an opportune time for every Yid to come out of their own Mitzrayim. But if a Yid is going to be constantly focusing on their faults and on their averas, especially the avera of Moshe Zera Levatala, which causes a person to become depressed. A person needs to focus on Eke. I can be, of what I can be. Yes, that will give a person a tremendous sense of anava, but it will be anava mitach simcha, anava that will propel a person to become what he could be. And through anava mitach simcha, we will be zoiche, each and every one of us, to leave our own Mitzrayim, our individual Mitzrayim, and as a result we'll be zoiche to leave our communal Mitzrayim, the vias Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu.